Welcome to the Reclaim Your Rise podcast. My name is Lauren Bongiorno, nationally board certified health coach and founder and CEO of Risely Health, where we help people and families impacted by type 1 diabetes take ownership over their lives so that they can transform with more freedom and confidence. Everyone has a different reason to be here. You might be seeking knowledge, support, or community, but at your core, I know that you long for something deeper. You're here for transformation. And that's what the Reclaim Your Rise podcast is all about. A quick reminder before we start the show that nothing you hear on the Reclaim Your Rise podcast should be a substitute for personalized professional medical advice. Please always consult your physician or other medical professional before making any changes to your diet, insulin dosages, or healthcare plan. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. So in honor of doing this holiday episode, I just actually lit a Christmas tree candle that smells absolutely amazing. I got it at Whole Foods the other day from this local Brooklyn candle studio, and it's cedar wood and pine, and we're in the mood to talk about all things mindful holiday eating and blood sugars. And I have specifically five strategic strategies that I would love to invite you to take with you into this next, you know, month and a half stretch. But before we even get to that, just to kind of set the scene, I, for the past 2.5 weeks, have been feeling like just chaotic energy, like so ungrounded in myself, just like energy depletion. I'm actually coming out of it now, which feels really good after like a week or so of kind of like regrouping myself. But I actually posted, I think like last Tuesday, I want to say, I don't remember what day exactly, but I did a whole post that you can go look at on Instagram that was talking about it and talking about how when there's just like when you're uncentered in your body, you don't want to take care of yourself. Like you're not motivated to do the things that support your diabetes. You don't want a carb count. You don't want a pre-bolus. You don't want to journal on your numbers. You kind of just want to like, just, you don't want to be in the roller coaster of the numbers, but it's just like, you want to be mad at the roller coaster and spend more energy there. Like it's easier to do that than to like say, you know what? No, I'm taking charge and we're kind of, you know, going to do something about it. And I have to say, like, I used to get into these, you know, periods of getting swept away by my calendar and by work and by obligations for like 6 months at a time. And then I would have like this whole humongous breakdown that never ended, you know, well. But now I get into these a few times a year, but it happens like the timeline is a lot shorter. So like this time it only happened for like 2.5 weeks before I recognized and was like, no, like we are putting a hard stop to this. And I'm really happy that I did before going into the holidays, because the holidays are, you know, like even more kind of crazy in a way. And all to say, like, if you're feeling like this way now, like use this as an opportunity to get on the offense, right? Like what can you be doing now to look at where your gaps are, start strengthening your foundation so that you're operating more proactively rather than reactively during, you know, November and December. And if you're having like overwhelmed with your diabetes, but you're like, I don't understand what the root is, it usually categorizes and breaks down into two different things as like larger umbrellas. So path A, you can call it, is you're overwhelmed, your numbers are crazy, you're feeling like low energy, low mood, low motivation. And the why of this is like you're having clear education gaps, right? You're missing education about your hormones, your insulin sensitivity, your mindset, how everything's connected with your, you know, food and blood sugars and exercise and all of it. And it's like you don't know what you don't know. So you're feeling like, I don't understand, I'm doing everything that I can, but you don't know the whole entire picture. You're only given like half of the puzzle and you're like, I don't understand why I can't finish it. So that might be your gap. And in order to fill that gap, you want to spend time over the next few weeks really thinking about how you can plug those education holes and start to learn about your specific body's patterns and insulin and all those different things that you might be missing. Now, a tool that we have at Risely to help you with this is the Cornerstone classes. These classes are video classes by me designed with our medical advisory board, and they're really for people who are on a mission to learn outside of their endo's office, and they want knowledge and they want strategies that encompass all of the nuances of type 1 diabetes. And if you don't know like which class to take, because we have, I think, like 12 of them, there's going to be a quiz in the show notes that will tell you like here are the education gaps that you're going to want to start to fill first before you go on to anything else. So that's like a path and a little bit of a solution for if you're feeling that way. And then path B is gaps, and the root being like your lifestyle imbalances. So this is more so you're unhappy or imbalanced in your career, at work, in your relationships, with your hobbies and passions and purpose. And you don't even have to directly work on your diabetes in a way. It's like you have to work on these other things, and then naturally your diabetes kind of will fall back into place. And that's what happened with me over the past 2 weeks. I was just working against this invisible timeline of having to fit so much in work-wise for the end of the year. And I was telling myself these stories of, you know, this is, you know, a must, and this is a priority, when the truth is like, it's not all. And I can't do it all at the expense of my health. So kind of like just recentering around that got me back to the basics of, okay, well, if I'm not, you know, pressuring myself there, then I have more space to journal, to meditate, to, you know, make sure I move my body every day. And my numbers ever since I, you know, had a few days of doing that last week have been so, so, so much better. And, you know, what feels really good for me. So with that, and that whole intro on really like creating space for yourself, figuring out where your gaps are, going into the holidays on your offense, let's really look at 5 specific strategies that you can use that are a little bit more tactical going into the holidays. Because I can tell you, I've been where you are. And I won't even say that like, oh, I've overcome and I, you know, never have any blood sugar challenges during the holidays. But I mean, I've spent probably over a decade of Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Christmas Eve, all the holiday parties, waking up in the middle of the night, you know, having to the bathroom 4 times because my blood sugar was like 300, 400, waking up the next day feeling like absolute crap. Like that was my norm. And I thought like, oh, that's what just happens during the holidays. And what I realized, and I remember specifically the first Thanksgiving about 5 years ago, maybe 5, 6 years ago, when I woke up the next day and I didn't feel like that, and my numbers were great overnight. I literally think I cried because I was like, what? Like, oh my God, I did it. Like, I felt so successful, and I was trying so hard to navigate the balance of food and insulin and being present and all that, but like I was able to do it. And every year since, to be honest, it has gotten easier because I feel so much more just like balanced in how, like, or I guess like what my specific approach to the holidays is, which I'll share part of that, you know, with you. But I think that there are universal challenges that come up for every type one, which is that, you know, you're maybe cooking, and so you're tasting everything in preparation for the meal and really not giving insulin for it, or it's hard to carb count, you know, or fat count the macros and things when you're eating at your family's house or a friend's house. You're sometimes having a holiday meal instead of having dinner at a normal like 6, 6:30, 7 o'clock, whatever time you normally eat, you're having it at like 3 p.m. because it's like a 4-course thing with your family. There's the overwhelm of like there being so many appetizers and just an abundance of these foods, and you kind of get lost in the experience of being with people that you forget to step away and pre-bolus or strategize, or you're afraid to have so much insulin on board, right? There's like so many complexities that I think each one that I kind of just listed, some people feel more than the others, but we all have kind of felt at one point or another. Okay, let's take a quick 90-second commercial break. So diabetes affects people of all ages, all walks of life, and the numbers are only growing. The Diabetes Research Institute, if you're not aware of them, they are the leader in cure-focused research, and they've made substantial contributions to the field over the last few decades. If you want to stay up to date on everything about their news, their advancements, I really want to encourage you to become a DRI insider by joining their email list. I'm personally subscribed to it. They are my trusted go-to source for diabetes cure and research updates, and I always feel just more hopeful and inspired after reading emails from their scientists and team. And as a listener of the Reclaim Your Eyes podcast, when you subscribe to DRI's list, you will get a free condensed digital download of our diabetic health journal, which will help you better identify your body's blood sugar patterns and improve your mindset around living with diabetes. Just click the link in the show notes below right now to drop your first name, last name, and email, or go to support.diabetesresearch.org/reclaim your rise. And so really, when I put on Instagram last week, like, hey guys, I'm doing a podcast episode about this. Like, tell me what your biggest, you know, challenge is. I think the one that was most encompassing and most overwhelming and came up so much was, how do I navigate blood sugars with the constant flow of just food? Like, there's just a constant, like, back-to-back party days where you're just grazing all, you know, throughout the time that you're at someone's house, or, you know, baking things, whatever it is. And so I get that. And it's a very, very real challenge. And I think first, like, just level set with yourself and say, yeah, that is challenging for a type one, because when you're stacking so much food, it is difficult for our body to process and for the insulin to catch up. However, I do think that there are some strategies that I have used and that our clients use at Rizely that have been helpful. But just remember, these are very surface level tactical things that are kind of like the cherry on top, and the foundation of it is your relationship to your diabetes, your relationship to yourself, your relationship to really like your stress and your triggers and things like that. And when I say triggers, I mean, for me, for instance, back in the day, I would say, like, you know, like 7-8 years ago, when I was super, super, super strict with food and like did not have like sugar or cookies or, you know, any of those more indulgent things, holidays were a big trigger for me because I could not help myself. And it was like, I didn't let myself have these foods at other times. And so, yes, I wanted the pasta. Yes, I wanted the cookies. Yes, I wanted everything, because I told myself, okay, it's only one day and, you know, I'll start over tomorrow. But then there was a party the next day and then a next day. And like, it all kind of just flowed together into, all right, I'll start over on January 1st. And like, that feels really, really crummy. And I did not like that, because it felt like I wasn't working with my body, and my body was like disobeying me in a way. I don't know if that's like the correct way to express it, but I just didn't feel in sync with it. And now I do. And it's, you know, that foundational work of the relationship aspects plus more of the tactical tools. So keep that in mind as we go into this. But here are 5 tactical tools that I want to end on things to be thinking about as you go into this holiday season, and you're going to be navigating a lot of grazing with food and just abundance of it. So the first one is to avoid what I like to call instinct repetition. Now, the best kind of analogy I can give you that I heard that was like a life-changing tip, I don't know if I've shared it on the podcast before, but I am somebody who, I lose a lot of things, like the wallets, the keys. I'm always like, you know, running late. And then I'm like running back in the house, like, Chris, I can't find my keys. And he's like, how do you not know? You have 2 sets of keys. Like, how are they not just like in the same place every single time? So anyways, I heard this thing once that basically said, so if you lose something and then you find it, go back. Next time you go to put it down somewhere, put it in the first place that you looked for it, because your instinct was kind of taking you to that place. So the whole premise about this is that like your brain is wired to like have the same patterns and have the same habits. So kind of like work with it, or just like be aware of that and kind of use it to your advantage. And so how this plays into the strategy for the holidays is, if you are going into the holidays and you're going to do the same thing that you normally do for the past couple of years, but think the outcomes are going to be different, you're not really checking in with the fact that it's not serving you, right? And those aren't the outcomes that you want to get. And if you are putting in the same input, you're going to get the same output or outcome. And what I want to encourage you to do is really think about, okay, what are the things that I generally repeat every single holiday? And you can even make a list, put it down on paper. Like, do you tend to under bolus? Do you tend to over bolus? Do you tend to over bolus and then you get low and then you have to treat that low and then you go high, and then the food that you ate beforehand that you bolus for that had just more fat in it, and that's why you went low right away, kind of comes on top of it, and then it all, you know, hits you at the same time, and then you end up going high. Like, is that one of your patterns? I know that was like a super specific example, but that's what I want you to be thinking about. What are the things that you instinctually are gonna want to do because you do them every single year, but like you're telling yourself a lie. You're telling yourself like, oh, I only need 2 units for this, when you know in reality, like, you need 10 units for that or whatever it is. So really make a list of what you usually instinctually repeat, what patterns, how they're not serving you, and then what you're going to do differently this year to serve your body. So that's the first one. The second one is, this is controversial, and don't just take me for the soundbite here. You have to listen to the whole thing, but stack your insulin. Now, why is this controversial? Because you hear all the time, don't stack your insulin, don't stack your insulin, don't stack your insulin. And the term is not explained well enough. So stacking your insulin is like an original term that kind of started with the idea of if you give a correction and your blood sugar was high, you give a correction and then your blood sugar, you know, an hour later is still high, don't give more insulin because that previous bolus or, you know, dose is probably still working. And what happens is, what we see a lot from clients is they come in and say, well, I'm not supposed to, I don't want to give more insulin because I just gave it, you know, an hour ago. But this doesn't necessarily ring true in all scenarios, and especially not with food. So if you are grazing and you're eating a bunch of food throughout the day, you should be stacking your insulin because you're eating more carbs and more food that require more insulin. And this comes from, I guess the confidence to do this comes from knowing your body and knowing that, like, okay, even though I have, you know, 6 units on board, let's say, that feels like a lot, but I also just ate the amount of carbs or food that requires that amount of insulin. So I really want to encourage you to actually, you know, meet your body where it is by giving yourself the proper amount of insulin that you need if you are grazing, because it does add up. Like a handful here, a handful there, like really, really think about it. I don't know why Raisinets like came to me first. I think my mom used to have like a bowl of Raisinets like during holidays a lot when I was younger, but their Raisinets are like chocolate covered raisins. And I would just always take like, oh, a handful here, a handful there. Well, like that's like, you know, 10 carbs here, 10 carbs there. And like three times you're back in the bowl, that's 30 carbs that, like, you know, you're just going to give a quick 0.5 units for. No, like that requires like a good amount of a hefty bolus. So I say this also because once your blood sugars get up there during the holidays, it's very hard to bring them back down because you have generally the fat content that's also working against you. And the fact that as your blood sugars get higher, you become more insulin resistant. So think about while you're grazing, it's okay to give insulin to meet your needs and to also, it's helpful to trust your insulin to carb ratios and yes, things like that. But sometimes you might want to do it a little bit more intuitively and lean on that. I know that when I bolus for foods during the holidays, I'm often not putting in carbs first and then it populating the insulin dosage. I'm really just saying like, all right, let's just get a lot of insulin on board for what I know I'm eating. And then we'll kind of like correct as the night goes on in a way, but I never let myself get to the point of like above 230, because then it's like all kind of downhill from there in a way. And I find it very hard to like get back down. So it's like getting ahead of the spike in a way. So that is number two. Number three is to exercise. Exercise that day, increase your insulin sensitivity, exercise that week. I lean more on strength training that week instead of cardio, because heavy cardio, which is what traditionally people do of like, oh, I'm going to burn a lot of calories before like, you know, the holiday or whatever. Well, it just revs up your metabolism, makes you even more 10 times hungrier. And then you kind of feel like, oh, I have no willpower here. Where like I lean a little bit more on strength training, Pilates, walking on an incline, things like that to increase insulin sensitivity, but not to the point where I feel like my body is going to be craving like an extra, you know, 1,000 calories of fuel that puts me into a place where I'm, you know, sitting in front of like pie and, you know, pastas and desserts and all these amazing things. And I'm just like, it's a little bit harder to, I guess, what do you call it? Like portion control? Because I think it is by nature, like portion control over the holidays is definitely really hard. So increase your insulin sensitivity. I also will, if it's nice out, go for a walk sometimes outside. I'll recruit a family member. I'll be like, hey, I want to, you know, go for a walk around the block real quick in between, you know, appetizers and the meal or whatever it is. Like who wants to come walk with me, right? And usually like my dad will come or somebody. So definitely use that as a tip to your advantage. That is a tool. The next one, number four, is to pay attention to the taste. So I was getting some messages from people saying like, there's so many options with foods at parties and I just want to have it all. And the truth is that like you can have it all. And a lot of, I think, the overconsumption around holidays comes from us not listening to our bodies. And the truth is that when our taste buds, how they work is that when they taste something for the first time, not like the first time ever, but like the first time, let's say in that, you know, day or whatever, they're like lighting up. Think of like all these fireworks that are happening. And then if you take a second bite of, let's say, that piece of cake, the fireworks are, you know, happening, but maybe a little bit less. And then the third taste, they're still going off, but like definitely less than the first, definitely less than the second bite, and then the fourth and then the fifth, and they continue to go down, and your taste buds get less excited by the same taste. And if you really can pay attention to that, you can realize, oh, like, I'm kind of satisfied with this and I want to maybe taste something else, right? And that allows you to have variety, but not to have so many carbs maybe in your system, because you have to have like a whole thing of everything. So just something that may be helpful in the mindfulness process for you. And then number five, the last one, is an apple cider vinegar hack. So research and study shows that if you have apple cider vinegar, and really I think it's any kind of vinegar, but mix it with water, a tablespoon before a heavy carb meal. I do this like a lot on the regular. It helps reduce the blood sugar spike. And so that is something that you can lean on that could also help reduce the spike as well. So these are more like five tactical ones. So number one, avoid instinct repetition, change the patterns to change the outcomes. Number two, stack your insulin, avoid getting to that high place because it's way harder to come down. Number three, exercise that day to increase your insulin sensitivity. Number four, pay attention to the taste and your taste buds. And number five, one tablespoon of apple cider vinegar with a cup of water, right? And just like anytime before you're eating a high carb meal, and kind of, you know, a combination of those things. But once again, it's not like those five things are like the be all end all of like, oh, these are the only five things I do. Like, this is like built on top of everything that I was talking about the relationship to yourself, to diabetes, to the insulin, but also knowing your patterns and your basal rates and your insulin to carb ratios and everything. That's like the foundation about what I talk about on this podcast and, you know, with you guys just for the regular outside of the holidays when you're in routine. So I'm going to leave you all with that, but all to say, just be kind to yourself, be patient with yourself, really just like know that like we're all going through it, right? If it helps, know that we're all going to be thinking about the same thing, about like, oh, how do I like enjoy these, you know, foods today and not go super high? And we're in this together. You are not alone. So please send me a DM on Instagram at @Lauren_Bongiorno. Let me know what your biggest takeaway was from this episode. I'm super curious to hear. And if you haven't yet, please rate the podcast. Just go to the homepage and give it 5 stars if you think it deserves it. And that is all for now. So I'll talk to you guys next week. And until then, I hope you have happy blood sugars. Bye-bye.